Okay, today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 15th day of the month of Sivan. This is the women's Chumash share. We're in the middle of Perek Tet of Sefer Bereishis. Okay, Rabotai. We are in the middle of Perek Tet of Sefer Bereishis. And after the Brit, the covenant that has been established between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach, with the Keshet and the Anan, so the Torah reports in Pasuk Yudchet, Vayiyu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha-teva, shem Cham v'yafes, v'cham hu avi kina'an. So we focused last week on why the Torah would report that Cham Hu was Avi Kanaan, because to let us know, to give us a little glimpse, what is about to unfold. Eile b'nei Noach, u'me'eile naftzak al haaretz. These are the children of Noach, and from these three children spread throughout the entire earth, throughout the entire world. So now the Torah tells us, Vayochel Noach ish ho'adama, Vayita karem. It's a very difficult phrase. Vayochel Noach ish ho'adama. Can anybody just read the English translation of Vayochel Noach?
Noah was a man of the earth, debased himself.
Yeah, that's following Rashi. That's Lashon Chulin. Okay, right. Good. The simple pshat is that the first activity which Noach did was to resume his practice of being a farmer. Vayachal Noach. And Noach once again picked up to resume to be an Ish Adama. He didn't choose to be a shepherd. He didn't become a shoeman. He became Ish Adama, a man who will, derive his livelihood from the field. That's the simple pshat. Vayita karem. And he planted a vineyard. However, Rashi and many others, and we're going to read the Radak at great length, Rashi claims that Vayachel is from the expression of Chulin, Lashon Chol, which is the opposite of Kadosh. Profane. Profane, not sacred, correct. So take a look at Rashi. Vayachel, it's a very forced reading. Asa Atzmo Chulin. He made himself profane. Shahaya lo la'asok tchila b'netia acheres. He should have started planting something else, not a karem, not a vineyard. He should have planted dates or figs. What? Okay. We have no clue as to what Rashi's talking about. None whatsoever. Rashi is just quoting the Medrash, as he often does. And by just selecting these couple of words of the Midrash, we're like puzzled. Why should plant something else? Okay, if you think you should plant something else, tell us what you think you should plant. And also tell us, what's so terrible about planting a vineyard? What's so terrible?
How do we know that he didn't plant other
things? Because it's
unique for the story.
Good, that's right. So there, the Medrash is also relying on the word Vayachel. The first thing that he did was Natakere. Vayachel. The first thing he did was Natakere. And he's now going to be held somewhat accountable for this. For this. I just want to finish Rashi, and then, as I said, I want to focus on the Radak, because the Radak, the Midrash, they try to explain to us why engaging in planting a vineyard was a terrible thing, and how by doing so he made himself chulin. He profaned himself by planting a vineyard. We'll see in a second. See in a second. So then Rashi comments on Ish Ho'adama. It's also a very unusual phrase. Let's operate with the pshat. Vayochel Noach, and Noach began, Ish Ho'adama, began a man of the field. It's an awkward phrasing. Awkward phrasing. So Rashi says, what does Ish Ho'adama mean? Adonai Ha'adama. To become what? The master of the earth. Correct. Vayochel Noach. Noach begins the task of becoming what? The master of agriculture. Adonai Ha'adama. The master of agriculture. What?
That's not necessarily negative.
I didn't say it's negative. I didn't say it. Rashi doesn't tell us why it's negative. But he's a master of agriculture. That's what we're being told. He's very specialist. And what is his first undertaking? Vayita Karem. That doesn't say it's negative. But he became a master in agriculture and Vayita Karem. What? Good, a worker of the land. Okay. There's going to be many similarities between what Cain, not the pshat, the Medrash is going to bring in, similarities between Cain, who's an Ovid Adama, and Noach is Adon Adama. Paita, and he planted a vineyard. Says Rashi, the world was just destroyed. Everything was destroyed. So what question do you think Rashi is going to address? No. Yeah, a simpler pshat. Where do you get the seeds from? Oh, so Rashi says, Vayita Karem, Kishenichnas L'Teva, when he entered the Teva, Hichnis Imo Zimorot V'Yichurei Te'enim. He took with him what? Branches of what? A vineyard, and figs, and the Medrash elaborates, and this, and this, and this. And then he was able to plant a whole garden. Because without it, there would be no vegetation. Okay, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. So now what is going to give rise to the Midrash's understanding of the first pasuk is the second pasuk. Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar. He drinks of the wine and he's intoxicated. That's exactly what's pointing out why also asma chulin. That's exactly what's leading to them. That the planting of wine of the vineyard itself, in it itself, might not be such a terrible act. But what does he do with the produce right away? He gets drunk. What? Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. It takes time. Good. So, trust me that from a pshat point of view, you're 100% right. But the Midrash is going to say something spectacular. What do you think the Midrash is going to say? The day he planted, it all grew already. And he's on the very first day, he's already drunk. All right, exactly. Everything happened on the same time. Almost, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that's using that same
Heichel. Yeah, beginning. Correct. As man began to populate the earth. That's what it Vayachal means. Tchila. That's a simple pshat. Okay, there it happens to be right. It happens to be negative. But here what's making negative is it's the wine factor.
Is this the same charge as Tchilo?
It's not the shorish. Vayachel does not fit into the shorish of chilul. No, chilul. It's shorish. It has two. It's chet lamed lamed, two lamed. So in order to get a little better understanding of what's happening here, he plants a vineyard, he drinks wine, he gets drunk. Let's see what leading everybody to say he profaned himself and so on and so forth. And we will be startled by some of the comments that the Parshanim make about wine. And in fact, some are going to claim that up until now, wine was never drunk. Yes, they had grapes, but what did they do with the grapes? They ate them. And Noach is the first one to what? Noach is the first one to take wine and produce the wine. We'll see. Let's take a look for a second. I want to start with the Radak. On page number one. I bracketed the Radak on page number one. Vayochal Noach ish ha'adama. Kimoshi kasavna b'parsha rishona. As we've written earlier, Noach hit asek ba'avodat adama. Noach was engaged in working the land. Vehit chakem ba. And he became very, very knowledgeable. He's a good farmer. He understood about produce of the earth. Ve'ata achar ha'mabul hitchakem od lotat ha'gifanim rabim yachad ve'la'asot min ha'anavim yayin. Not only was he such a smart aleck in terms of produce of the land, he, Noah, figured out that the juice of this particular fruit is incredibly attractive. Ki'av heina lo ha'yeshotim yayin. Until this particular time, wine was not drunk. First 10 generations of this world, no wine. So when they had to make Kiddush, they did it on bread and challah. They didn't make Kiddush on wine. There was no wine. They made Kiddush Friday night on challah. Ela hayu ochlim ho'anavim kishar ha'perot. They ate the grapes like all other fruits. All other fruits. V'noach Hayatchila lenote korem. Noach begins by planting a vineyard. Umashe omar vayochel vayita perush vayochel lataat. He began to devise the scheme about what could be done with what? With the grape. What other uses it could be done? Vayita. So before he actually planted the korem, says the Radak, what did he scheme? What am I going to do with the produce of this particular vineyard? Already thought that there is a capacity to do something, not just to eat the fruit, for that they don't have to be the biggest genius in the world, but to convert it into something else. That was his plan, and he immediately implements the plan, Vayita.
He might have thought about it before, because evidently he wants to get developed.
Correct, but that could be just to plant the fruits. But it's possible that he had in mind even before. That we don't know. Correct. Ki al hatichuna am hakor davakim lashon techila. Sister Radak, don't follow Rashi that vayachal means he profaned himself, but it's much more closely related to the word what? Techila. Tichila. And he gives you several illustrations. Pasuk and Shua. Hachel livnot ha-mizbeach. Begin to what? Build a mizbeach. Ochel teit pachtecha. I will begin to what? Place your fear on the seven nations who you're about to conquer. So this word of Yochel, Ochel, is very common in Tanakh, says the Radak. Therefore you don't have to go anyplace. Hu Hochel, Leos Gibor Tzai, later on, with Nimrod. Good. Now, I want you to skip a little. and go six lines before it ends. Six lines before it ends. Then we'll come back to the middle, where it says, "Va'od haya hasipur hazeh." Everybody have it? Six lines before it ends. "Va'od haya hasipur hazeh lahazhir al mishteh hayayin." This particular story is designed to alert you to the dangers of wine. Ushilo lishagot bo, never to make a mistake and think that what? This is a wonderful thing. Ki hu mafsid hada'at. It causes you to what? Lose your ability to think straight. Ki im yishteyu chai, if you're going to drink raw wine, v'yishtaker men, and you'll become intoxicated, yinagev hamoach, your brains will dry up, v'yilbalbel hamachshava, and your thought process will be totally confused, v'yavo lidei shigaon, and will lead you to engage in making mistakes. So says the Radak, and he's not the only one who does this. Not the only one who does it. Just one second. Ubazeh hiflig Shlomo begunaso v'chein hanevi'im. Therefore, if you look in various aspects of Tanakh, Shlomo in Mishle, and other prophets, you'll see that they don't speak very highly of people who drink wine and get intoxicated. Lefikach ba sipur mimenu batorah. Therefore, the Torah tells us the story. Lisaper begunato, to show us the shameful behavior of Noah. Ki harishon shishasa mimenu nishtaker bo. He is the first one to drink wine and get drunk. Vinishtabsha da'ato achenit gale ervato behulo yada. He became so confused that he became naked and he wasn't aware of the fact that he was even naked. Well, anyway. So I'll tell you a letter that I send out all the time, 3 days before Purim. Always. A famous Gemara in Maseches Megillah, which highlights this. The Gemara tells us that Rava went to Rabbi Zeira every single year for Purim, Sudat Purim. Good. One year, Rabbi Zeira killed Rava. He was drinking and he killed him.
Who was drinking?
Rabbi Zeira was drinking. He took out a knife and he stabbed Rava. After he awoke from his stupor, he recognized that what? Oh my God, I killed Rava. Says that he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tchias HaMesim took place. Rava was restored. Comes to Gemara and says, next year, Rabbi Zeira invited Rava again. And Rava was smart. He says, La kol shana israchesh nisa. I can't bank on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do Tchias HaMesim a second time. I'm not coming to your house. Now, this story follows right after the Gemara's statement that you're supposed to drink wine on Purim, Adelo Yada. That's exactly that you said, Adelo Yada. Until you drink so much that you can't recognize the difference between Arur, Mordechai, and Baruch Haman. Everybody knows that. No, Arur, Mordechai. That you say Arur Mardechai instead of Baruch Haman. You're so confused. Instead of saying Baruch Mardechai Arum, you say Arur Mardechai Baruch Haman. That's how much wine you're supposed to drink. So if you look at the Baal HaMor, one of the sharp commentaries in the back of the Gemara, he quotes a Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says, why does the Gemara quote the story after quoting the Halakha? Why? Because it wants to tell you the Halakha might be the Halakha. But here comes the dangers of following this halacha. And don't follow this halacha. Why shouldn't you? Because look at what happens. Look at the potential danger that can happen. The Gemara often quotes stories in the Gemara. And the stories are either usually to support the halacha, but sometimes you have what's called ma'aseh listor, an episode that contradicts the Gemara. Contradicts. So sometimes the Gemara says, it doesn't really mean anything. Here the Gemara just ends. So the Rabbeinu Ephraim says, the story is being told to tell us, do not follow the halacha. That's my letter to all TABC parents all the time. I send it to everybody who I can possibly think of. Why? Because we know, especially today, where drinking is the biggest problem amongst high schools. Not drugs. Drinking. Alcohol. Because it's so readily available. Readily available. I mentioned in my drush a couple of days ago that there was it happens every time, but in Muncie there was a big party and four kids had to have their stomachs pumped. Stomach pumped 2 weeks ago, Saturday night. They had to call the police. It was crazy. Nuts. And the mother was home. She had no idea. She didn't mind running a party. But why she didn't suspect that anybody would be what? Bringing drugs or bringing alcohol. I know somebody who runs an eighth grade pair at the Yeshiva Dom. They wanted to have a big graduation party. They had it already. They hired a cop, a security guard. Checked you as you walked in to see if you had anything, and he warned you. If I see you, I'm going to make a trip inside. If I see anybody with any drugs or alcohol, I'm going to arrest you on the spot. That's correct. An eighth grade party. Can you imagine? Eighth grade party. So he says that's the dangers of wine. And the Torah is, according to Radak, that's why the Torah is reporting this episode. Because it wants to alert us to the danger of wine, because you blow your opportunity to think. And thinking is the only thing that differentiates us between us and the rest of the animal kind. If not, you're nothing but a chayra. Yes.
Very confusing, because Purim comes 4 weeks after Arba Kosot. Four cups of wine.
I know. That's why it has to be mazug. What is the ratio of wine to water that we say is acceptable? 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Why does the Gemara say that that's the way to dilute wine? Because then you'll feel good. No one says that you should not drink at all. No one ever says that you shouldn't drink at all. It's getting drunk. So in the time of the Gemara, that was the ratio. 3 parts water to 1 part wine. In our generation, it might be a little different. Don't forget, wine was, in the time of the Gemara, was to drink like water. They didn't drink water. Every meal begins with wine. So when you drink wine all the time, you don't get drunk by having 4 cups of wine. The Mishnah talks about yayin lifnei hasuda. They would sit down and have wine, then there's yayin betoch hasuda, and then yayin shelachar hasuda. Yes?
The Gemara says ad lo yada, maybe that means up until that point where you wouldn't.
That's okay.
And not stop.
Right?
Yeah. Stop right before that.
Rambam says you just go to sleep. That's an answer. Just sleep a little. When you sleep, can you recognize? Do you know the difference in the? No. So he says, don't get drunk. Just sleep. Yeah.
In this text, according to the Radak, is he actually? It's like he's saying this story is here for another purpose.
Correct.
And he's not critical of Noah, because Noah, one of his flaws was that he didn't take initiative. He's taking initiative. He's making plans. Nobody ever had one before. He didn't know what was going to happen. And so does he in no way interpret this as critical of Noah? Because
it's hard. I hear what you're saying. Is the purpose only to alert the future generations, or is it commenting about Noah? How would he know? It's the first time. How would he know what the limits are?
Like, how would Kanye know?
So tell me, which position did Rashi take by saying that Vayachal does not need to begin, but Lashon Chulin?
He is critical of Noah.
Oh yes.
Rashi is. That's why I asked.
Rashi's Radak does not appear so. The Torah is just telling us to teach us the dangers, but he doesn't necessarily criticize Noah. That is correct.
Because I've seen articles and videos about people watching
watching animals stagger around Trump because they meet somebody from Benton Berries. So he could have learned this from seeing what happens when you let
that is fall. That is possible. That is possible. That's possible. In order to augment this, please take a look. Flip the page for a second. Flip the page. And he says the following. This is Rabbeinu Bachya. Bachya in Pekuda. I bracketed the relevant lines. Vayochel isho adama vayita karet. He asks an interesting question. Ma shesamach inyin hayayin la'ota keshet. What question is he asking? Why does this episode follow right after the keshet? Now, you don't need the answer. Tell me what the real answer to that question is. Tell me the simple answer.
It happened next.
It's very simple. It's very simple. I'll give you an illustration from this week's parsha where it could be simple, and yet everybody makes a big deal about it. This week, we have, in this week's parsha, Parshat Bahalotcha, at the end of the parsha, we have the episode of Miriam. Episode of Miriam. Good. And what is the beginning of Parsha Shlach? The miracle. So what question does Rashi ask? Why is the Miraglim episode right after the Miriam episode? That's Rashi's answer. Says the Ben Ezra, what do you make a whole big deal about it? The Torah itself reports that that Miriam's episode took place in the city of Midbar Paran. It's black on white. It took place in Midbar Paran. Where were the Meraglim sent from? Vayishlach Osam Moshe mi Midbar Paran. Why is the Torah this? Because it happened in the same location. It's the next episode to take place. But Darshanim are not happy with simple answers. They look for meaning why Parsha A is found next to Parsha B. We'll find the same thing that Rashi will ask at the end of Shlach. The last Parsha of Shlach is Tzitzis. Then comes Korach. What will Rashi ask? As Rashi gets a whole medrash, he put on the Tzitzis, you know, he made a cloth made out of Tcheles. Rashi goes wild when he sees these things. Goes wild. So he asked the same question. Simple answers, because it happened right next. But Darshanim, don't it? What is the connection between the Yayin, the Ot Keshet? Yitachen Lomar, listen to this. Levi Shehayayin Remez Lemidas Hadin Kimoshi Yadata. Wine symbolizes what? Midat Hadin. That's what I'm about to ask Bachya. How does wine suddenly symbolize Midat HaDin? How does wine suddenly symbolize Midat HaDin? What?
They tell the truth when you're under the influence of wine.
Ooh. Okay. So there are 50 to explain. No, Bachya expects us to know what he's running through his mind. But he doesn't tell us. So some say, very good, some say, because when you have, people will tell you this, that when they start getting a little tipsy, what happens? Inhibitions are released, and you start talking about things that typically you would not have spoken about, and many of those things that come out are not terribly what? Terribly positive. And you confess to what? To doing things which up until now they have been inhibited within you. So what does it lead to? Now when you tell this to everybody and you tell us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that represents Midat HaDin. That's one possible interpretation.
Vayechal represent Midat HaDin because, and it happened just before he planted a tree.
Would that be connected?
How would Vayachal mean Midat Hadin?
Because they're judging words, and the very next thing after it says Noah is that he planted a vineyard, so it might be.
Yes, that's what he's saying. Because the vineyard and the wine represent Midat Hadin. That's
but
correct.
Maybe it's because of the proximity of the ideas.
So how? Yes. So look at the next line. What does he tell you to avoid that? How does he prove that? That is midas hadin. He quotes the halacha that I just quoted to you. Va'alkein amru ein mevarchen al hayayin ad shilitoch hamayin. You're not permitted to make a bracha on raw wine. Why not? Why not? Because if you're going to start, he could mean to one of two ways. A bracha is to acknowledge God's role in this world, so you thank Him for it. But if that which you're going to intake is going to lead you to what? What type of behavior? Inappropriate behavior, not just inhibitions, but inappropriate behavior, don't make a bracha on something that's going to lead to inappropriate behavior. So when you dilute it with water, that doesn't have that intoxicating effect. Hence, under those circumstances, you can make a bracha upon it. Vida shelo haya adam shehistakel bazeh ad sheba Noach. Nobody thought of this until Noach came around. Ki harishonim natu gefen kol echad ve'echad la'atzmo. Listen to this. Others, what did they do?
One.
They planted exactly one or just one little thing. Avol Noach hitchil ata lintoa gifanim shurot. Not just one little vine, but what is it?
Vineyard.
Vizeh v'hanikroim kerem. That's a kerem. Vizeh she'amar v'yachel. What did he start? He started a new pattern of agriculture where you don't just have, you know, one little thing to satisfy your need, but you really want this abundant amount. How do you create the symbolism of the abundant amount? A kerem, not just one little vine, but he plants rows and rows of wine. Oef shar, lefi shehaya Noach asiri. Noach was the 10th generation since the creation of man. For Ha'asiri Kodesh. Where did he borrow that phrase from? Ha'asiri Kodesh. Ma'aser Behema. If you have a flock, you're obligated to give Ma'aser Behema. How do you do Ma'aser? You take them from one corral to the next, and you move a thing, and the Torah says, Vahaya Ha'asiri Kodesh Lashem. So Noah, as the 10th, was a holy person. Holy person. He's playing on the halacha of Ma'aser Behema. Va'ata kishines atek ata b'davar hayayin na'asechulin. Now that he starts engaging in what? Producing and drinking wine, that desecrated, profaned this holy person who started out to be a kodesh because he was the 10th. V'zeh Lashon Vayachel. Vihigid Lanu Hakatuv Tsarot Rabot Viraot Shehayayin Sibalahem. It's just about to tell us all of the terrible calamities that come about as a result of wine. Ki hechti es hatzadik hatamim asher hitzil kol ha'olam. This tzadik who saved the entire world, garam lo shiye zaro mikulal. His children are going to be what?
Cursed.
V'hinei ha-parsha hazot. Listen to this line. Azhara alayayin ki parshat nazir o yoter. It's in a warning against wine like the parsha of nazir or worse than that. What does that mean? What is that? We just read it this past Shabbos.
Yeah, but the Nazir refrained from wine and then he has to bring a korban because it was a chet.
Okay, that's one interpretation. There is a debate as to what status does the Nazir have. Some claim the Nazir is the great tzaddik. A way to elevate yourself in Kedusha by abstaining from that which is permissible. And others say just the opposite. Why does a Nazir have to bring Korbanot? Because he abstained from that which was permissible. What position is Bachya taking in this regard? It is the greatest thing in the world to do like a Nazir. Why? Because you recognize the dangers of wine. So even though it's theoretically permitted in moderation, no one prohibited it in moderation, but you're always worried about the temptation. And how do you protect yourself? Go to the other extreme and you don't drink any wine. And he is calling him, that's the greatest warning you can possibly have. The greatest warning. So, Mr. Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pekuda is making himself perfectly clear about what position he takes about a Nazir and what are the potential dangers of drinking wine. Drinking wine. There is, flip the page for a second. This medrash blew me away. Blew me away. This medrash Rabbah is on our parsha, and it's actually 6 pages long. And it goes through the symbolism of certain numbers. Well, the one that's related to us is number 14 and number 15. It goes through 20. But that medrash is 6 pages long. So now look at this. I bracketed the relevant thing. Arba asar vav ne'emru b'yayin. There are 14 letters of the word vav in this particular unit. And he writes it. Va yachel noach. Va yitaker. Va yesht. Va yishkar. Va yitgal. Va yarcham. Va yugad. Va yikashe. Va yasimu. Va yelchu. Va yichasu. Va yikatz. Va yeda. Va yomar. Okay. 14. 14 vavs. Excellent. What does the 14 vavs represent? Nothing in particular. But it's the contrast to number 15. Chamisha asadvarim ne'emru b'talmud chacham. 15 things are stated about the righteous scholar. Whatever they are. No'e bebeso, he's pleasant in his house. Chassid b'yeshivato, arum b'yira, chachma b'dato, pikeach b'drachav, shomea umosiv chachma, all very nice things. So what message is the Medrash trying to tell us? That there are 14 vavs by Noah and 15 qualities of a tzaddik, of a talmud chacham. Exactly. Ain't Noah going to be listed as what? One of the Tamid Chacham any longer. He starts off as Sadiq Tamim Hayab Dorotav. And now I can't even qualify him as what? A plain ordinary Talmud Chacham. He's only got 14, not 15. You got to have all 15 to qualify. So the parsha of the Yayin has now dragged Noach down to such an extent, according to the Midrash, that whereas he was described as Ish Noach Ish Tzadik Tamimah Es Ho'elohim Et Halech Noach, right now he can't even be recorded as what? As an ordinary Talmud Chacham. Ordinary Talmud Chacham. So these Midrashim and Parshanim, Bachya's a little Kabbalist, but he's and the Radak as well, certainly a plain Pashtan, all highlighting that the focus of this particular Parsha is in some extent to let us know the dangers of wine, according to others, critical of Noach himself. Obviously, those who want to label him as no longer a tzaddik tamim, they're critical of him as well. Very critical. But at the very least, it's alerting us to the potential dangers of wine. Let's continue and see what happens. Good. So you, Rachel, will know several times where Parshanim quote a particular profession selected by two great leaders because it's the type of profession that enables you to ponder your relationship with God. Who are those two? I know you do. Moshe and?
Yeah.
What?
David.
That's who Chazal quote. What? Roetzon. Why is Moshe told that he is, you know, Moshe Hayaroe Eson Yisrael? Who cares? Who cares that Moshe took care of, was a shepherd for who? His father-in-law's flock. Who cares? Says Rashi, the Ramban, everybody. Exactly. Because there is an element of bididut. You're walking around, especially if you're an honest, that you make sure that your cattle do not graze where? On someone else's land. You might have to walk on. You're in this open vistas, open spaces. You have a chance to ponder your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not saying no. I am not saying no. I just responded to the comment, why is an Isha Adama being painted in the negative? But you're right, simply there's no editorial comment. It could be a very positive thing. No doubt. No doubt.
It seems like a necessary thing given that everything is...
Correct. Absolutely. You've got hundreds of animals to feed. Eventually, a family that's about to expand, you got to put food in their mouths. No doubt. 100%. It's part of the attack. Once you know that Noah, once you assume that we're looking to attack Noah, you'll find 50 other reasons to heap on, you know, pile on what he's doing. But you add on a similar 100%.
The fact that he's quoted, that he's described as a hero who saved the world, really emphasizes this tragic flaw that he was a great man who was brought from the height of what a human being could be.
And now he sinks to the lowest. That is correct. Vayesht minayayin vayishkar vayitgal betoch ahalo vayarcham avi kena'an eit ervat aviv vayageit l'shnei echal bachutz. Cham, the father of Kena'an, sees the nakedness of his father and he goes tells his two brothers. This pasuk is loaded. Loaded. The simple interpretation is, no gemaras, no medrash, he was lying naked.
In his own tent.
Exactly, betoch ahalo. Betoch ahalo. And nonetheless, the Torah is not proud of him, and Chum sees him, and what should have been Chum's response? Only response. Just cover him up. But that's not what he does. The first thing he does is spread the news so that not only he will have seen the nakedness of his father, but Shem and Yefes as well. And he will be held accountable for not reacting properly. Furthermore, not only not reacting properly, making the matters worse, that two of his brothers had to see their father in this condition as well. That's the simple pshat. Simple pshat. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi quotes it. Let's take a look at Rashi. Vayarcham avi kena'an. Now Rashi is correctly troubled. Why do I have to know at this point that Cham is the father of Kena'an? We already were told that in Pasuk 18. And we explained why. Right. So we saw a machloikis, if you remember, Rashi in the Ramban. Why the Torah says there, Cham avi Kena'an. Why does the Torah have to say it here? That what? V'ayarcham. Just say V'ayarcham. I know that he's the father of Kena'an. I asked the question before. Who cares that he's the father of Kena'an? He's the father of 5-6 other kids as well. So there we answered it. But why is it necessary to say here? So take a look at Rashi. Yesh me rabosenu amrim Kena'an ra'a v'higid la'aviv. Chum didn't see. Chum was not the first person to enter the tent. It was Kinaan who went in. And what happened? What happened? He went and told his father. So Pop came in. Lefikach huzkar al hadavar v'nitkaleil. Later on, Noach is going to curse somebody. Who is he going to curse?
The first one to see him.
Ah, not Chum. The Torah does not say Arur Chum. What does it say? In Pasuk, take a look at Pasuk Chafei for a second. Vayomer. It says that Noach wakes up and he sees everything that his youngest son had done. Vayomer Arur Kinaan. Why is he cursing Kinaan? It was Chum. Ah. That leads the Medrash to say, which Rashi quotes, that it was really Kinaan who what? Who walks in, and he tells his father, Chum. And that's why he gets cursed. Because what should Kinaan have done? Covered him up, and that's it, don't tell anybody. Yet, what? I don't know. I have no idea. How did Noach know eventually that it was Kinaan? Or Chum, whoever it was. I don't know. Vayar, one more comment of Rashi, Vayar Ervat Aviv. The simple interpretation, he saw him lying there naked. Yesh mirabuseinu amrim, sorso. He castrated him. V'yeshomim rivo. He had a homosexual relationship with him. Two opinions in the Gemara. Rashi quotes both. Now I can understand why one of them, whoever it was, either Kanaan or might have castrated Noah. Why? We've spoken about this. Why? A little sharper. Okay, but something even more global that he may not have bought into. That's it. I'm not buying into Noach that it's worth continuing the world. He was afraid that Noach is going to have what? More children. I'm going to make sure he's not going to have any more children. Because I don't really believe that it's worth what? Rebuilding this world after what we have witnessed in the past. I don't think it's worth it. What? Where does it say that? Okay, yes. But that's just it. I don't want to have any more. I don't want to have any more. So I can control myself that I'm not going to have any more. But I want to control Pop as well. But to assume that Rivo, he had a homosexual relationship with him. Where did that come from? Exactly. Where did that come from? What prompted the Medrash, the Gemara, to say that's negative? The other, at least I can hear in the context of having gone through the Mabul and the dilemma. We remember we said when God had to tell him to leave the Teva, why did God have to tell him? Because Noach himself wasn't 100% sure whether it's worth rebuilding. So I can hear it. But what prompted the something in the Medrash has to, something in the text has to shout out to you that this is something that I don't understand why. Yeah. Correct. Of course, it's one of the eight. One. But it's not. It's only one. That's possible. The word ervat itself. Okay. Because it says, "Ve'et zachar lo tishkav mishkavei isha." A man shall not have relations with what? With another man. It's black and white. Ki toavat Hashem koloiso eile. An abomination unto God. Anybody who engages in these practices. Perhaps. Good suggestion. I don't know. Yes. It seems to be a halal is his tent. It would stand to reason that they did not sleep in the same tent.
If he's not dressed, he's in his own tent.
they stumbled in and saw him.
Okay, so what would have been proper decorum? Knock on the door. And maybe even in, what even more, but even in your confines of your own tent, you have an obligation to be somewhat modestly dressed. Yes, that's a good point, a very good point. If you're in your own tent, what's so terrible about lying naked? I think there should be nothing wrong with it. But the Torah is condemning him.
Well, the question is also, did Noah invite what happened to him? Or did he give any reason to believe? In other words, maybe his nakedness was not accidental, the blanket fell off.
Okay, then again, it's up to spec. You have a right to speculate. I don't know. Don't know. Now, what word would indicate that Noach is doing something wrong in that tent? Vayitgal. What does the word actually mean, Vayitgal? And he was revealed. That's correct. It's a very awkward form. So what would that mean? Someone did it. That's correct. Vayitgal means he was made naked. That's the literal translation. So in other words, what might have actually happened here? That Noah came, what? Noah was covered. And one of his little grandson or son decided to what? Now, if that's the case, what does that help explain, which I just said 5 seconds ago? Why somebody thinks he did it to have a homosexual relationship or to castrate him? We didn't enter the picture. Well, if you uncovered him and he was uncovered, why would a son or grandson do that to his grandfather? Why would he do it? You can say just to look at him, but the Gemara felt it wasn't just the met not just to look at him. It was to do something. So they speculated. Either it was to lie next to him in the nude, or to what? To castrate him. So that's an excellent point. That what may have convinced the Medrash to say something like that is that it says Vayitgal.
Vayitgal is Hitpael. He did it to himself.
Either okay, but that's
Vayitlabesh.
That's the way Rashi says that. Yes, yes, yes.
So
I hear.
He understand that somebody did it to him. I'm not following the grammar.
The what? He was. I'm just telling you who said they're speculating. I grant you that, because it's a very unusual form, the heat pile form, and he became uncovered. Yes.
The homosexual relationship makes more sense than the castration.
Why?
Because castration, I mean, it's like surgery. It's like you're harming him. You're, mm-hmm. He would have woken up right away. And
may have died also, the right. Loss of blood.
Right, so it makes more sense that it's not.
I hear that. That's a good point. It's good. Yes.
Why do you think this is so big and not clear as what happened?
I can't answer that question. Why is the Torah so vague? Because it wants us to talk about it. I mean it. The Torah so often speaks mysteriously to enable Rashi and the Ramban or Radak to speculate.
To have a living. To make a living.
That's it, yeah. The Torah does so by mitzvot also. Very vague as to what certain things mean.